It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Good morning, Jacinda Ardern.
Good morning. How are you?
Labour Party leader, facing all the hoardings?
Not quite yet.
I was going to ask whether you got all that done yet. But it's not really,
almost. It takes a really long time to print these things, but almost there.
Yeah, sure does. Now, it's been quite a week for you. You've settled into the position of leader. We've got over the whirlwind, I guess. And you've started to chuck out a couple of policies and be able to react to a few policies as well. Your water tax.
Yeah.
The water taxing. Yep. Taxing, water for a start. We don't want to hear about taxing. I don't want to pay any more tax at all ever again. But I do want clean waterways, and I do want people to be able to swim and wander in the rivers and not think that we're just poisoning the oceans as well as the rivers. What's the deal with this tax?
And you probably actually want water bottlers to pay something when they're just hooking up to aquifers, filling up bottles and shipping water offshore without contributing anything. So
yeah, I do want that. Do you mean people like Coca-Cola and Kiwi Blue?
There's a few other companies like OnePure who are actually just hooking into an aquifer that don't pay councils in the way that people like Coke pay council.
That's the difference, because I know that they're going to be
it's
exempt.
A bit different. Yeah. Okay. Only because they're pinged already.
Right.
Only because they're pinged already.
Yep. Okay, so that makes sense.
Here's the issue. We've got two problems here. We've got people who are increasingly hooking into those aquifers and using water as a product. And then the other issue we've got is that our waterways are increasingly unswimmable. So 60% of our rivers now are in pretty poor shape. And it's getting worse, and we're not doing very much about it. So we wanted to resolve those two quite hard issues. And one way we could do it is by saying, well, look, if you're going to take water from an aquifer, let's acknowledge that actually all of us have a stake in our waterways, and that a relatively small royalty would be one way that we can then contribute to cleaning up our water.
Right.
And so that's what we've been talking about. You know, so it's gravel and gold, though. If you're bottling water straight from an aquifer, that's probably that's a pretty premium product. That's pretty special water, I guess, as it were, and so the rate that you might charge would be different than, for instance, if you're taking out from somewhere else and just simply watering. So we're talking very, very different rates here. And to give people some perspective, I think in Auckland it pays about it's over $1.20 per 1,000 litres. We're talking about, you know, a couple of cents, 1 or 2 cents per 1,000 litres.
The big stir up is the dairy industry, though. There's a big lobby saying that there's a lot of lobbying going on saying that the dairy industry is going to collapse. With the amount of water they do use an inordinate amount of water when it comes to...
Not everywhere. No, I mean, if you go back to places where I grew up, you certainly don't find these en masse irrigation schemes in the Waikato. So it really depends where you are as to whether or not dairy uses water in that way. We're excluding stock water, for instance. That's not included. It's just if you're using these en masse irrigation schemes, you might then be included. But again, we're talking cents per 1,000 litres. And what we want to do with that, or with the money we raise, is give that back to regional councils to help with river cleanup. And one of my suggestions would be actually to help with fencing. We're saying to farmers, we want within 5 years to fence all our significant waterways. So we could help with the cost of that through this world.
Surely that's the responsibility of the farmer, though. I've always thought that. Farmers that elapse on that shouldn't really have the right to be farming, you know?
And some will have that view. But what we're trying to demonstrate is actually this isn't about blame. This is about actually getting on and fixing the problem. We cannot continue to allow the amount of degradation that we have. It's just having too big an effect. And down in South Island, you know, they've got blue baby syndrome down there. You can't feed kids, babies water from some of the water supply down there because of the nitrate levels. We've got to do something about it.
We know
it's gnarly, and so we've suggested a way forward. The government has said nothing. They basically have no solution on this. So we think we're showing a bit of leadership, and instead their response has been to go out and absolutely scaremonger and say things that are absolutely outrageous.
How much of the Treaty of Waitangi do you have to take into consideration when it comes to taxing water?
Yeah, Well, again, this is something, again, real scaremongering. So we've got Chris Finlayson saying now that this opens up Trudy Waitangi claims. The Māori Council, head of the Māori Council themselves, are saying that is not true. In fact, there are multiple treaty settlements that exclude water as an issue. So Minister Finlayson knows that too. So I'm really disappointed. He's got a pretty good reputation on being pretty reasonable on this stuff, and he's come out today saying things that are just untrue. We know the Waitangi Tribunal said we do need to sort out the water issue, but our argument is, yep, we do. But actually, all of us have a stake in water.
And all of us have been are responsible for the water being polluted as well.
Yeah, you know, and so it's all of us.
It's not like let's clean up the waterways and then give them back. You know, we're all just as responsible for letting them get to the state that they've got into.
And so we're all in this together now. And so our view is that, you know, royalty helps us deal with some of that. It doesn't imply ownership. We collect a royalty from petroleum. We collect a royalty on minerals. You know, we charge GST on boot. That doesn't imply ownership. We all have a stake in water, but we acknowledge there's a few other things we need to work through with the tribunal, and we'll do that. But the scaremongering from National on this is really disappointing.
Righty-ho. Now, what about, speaking of National, they've announced that they think it's a good idea to get a boot camp up and running. Now, they've tried this before. For youth offenders, send them to Wairu, get them in the army. The army's cool; that makes a man out of you, and you won't ever offend again. I visited a friend in prison yesterday. You know, and our prisons are chock-a-block. They're absolutely chock-a-block full of people. Is this just a way of saying, yeah, look, we're tough on crime, but without being tough on crime? And do you agree with a boot camp?
No, I don't, because, you know, I totally support evidence when we make these policies. You know, let's get away from the politics and just do what's going to work. These kinds of camps were tried as in the 1990s from memory, and then government pitched them again in 2008, election time as it was. And, you know, argument again was that actually the reoffending rate from them when they were last tried was incredibly high. So all it did was essentially take kids, put them in these camps and train them to be better at being a criminal. It didn't change anything. So we've got to do what works.
So what's Labor's approach to the justice and the criminal system, to the criminal system, to corrections right now? Right now, as going as this election?
Always early. You know, the best thing we can do is work with families and kids who may improve later on much, much earlier. But when it does come to them coming up through the system, there are programs that we know make a bit of a difference. Well, actually much more of a difference than these ones. They're pretty intense, though. They include working with the family for quite a long time. The kid being in the young person being in a residential program again for quite a while, and then working with the family once they come out again. Because if you take a kid out of a pretty chaotic, rough environment, put them into a camp, and then just put them straight back, nothing's going to change.
No, I mean, and that's all post-offending as well, isn't it?
The
thing is, do you have anything in place to try and, I know it's a big call, but at a community and society level to try and steer people away from offending in the first place? I mean, is that just a matter of trying to get the difference between rich and poor, that inequality, a little bit smaller?
Well, we know that does have an impact. You know, that absolutely does.
In every case ever in the whole wide world, ever in history, ever, it always does, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of research that talks about that. So, you know, our focus has always been, you know, getting the basis of the way that your communities are working right, and then a lot of this weeds out, and then you'll have a group that are a bit tougher to work with. But again, whatever you're going to do, you've got to make sure that there's something that sits behind it that tells you it's going to be worthwhile. And boot camps, we already know, that is not a worthwhile option.
Is the outlook bleak for our correction system at the moment? It's going to take a weird while to turn that horse around, isn't it, if we're going to? Or does it require a whole rethink? Let me just explain that. When I say a whole rethink, I mean, you know, the justice system as it stands at the moment pretty much is post-World War II, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we sort of assembled, put together that way, and then we've just sort of worked with that and tweaked it a wee bit along the way.
Yeah, and other countries are starting to look at that and say, Well, look, if our common goal, and it is our common goal, but if our common goal is to, make communities safer, reduce the chances of someone reoffending, and try and make sure that, you know, that person becomes a contributing member of society, that is our common place to begin with, then we should just look at what is the best thing to do to try and get that outcome right. We know that prisons have a really high reoffending rate. The recidivism rate for people coming out of prisons, really high. Rehabilitation done within prison walls, really poor. There's lots of things to tell us that actually where we can, we should do other things. And I'll give you an example. Drug and alcohol courts. We know that in the youth, for young people, about 80% are committing crimes while under the influence of drugs and alcohol. So why don't we do something about that? We're using the drug and alcohol courts in Auckland, and instead of putting people in prison, they put them into programs.
Yep.
And you go and sit in those courts, it's amazing. You know, it is amazing the work that they're managing to do.
Yeah, it's working, isn't it? It's working. Yeah.
It does. It works. So much more of that, I think, is the way to go.
All right. And finally, what's the approach for the youth suicide? Well, for the suicide rate in New Zealand?
For
Labby. It's appalling. It's embarrassing. It's horrifying. It needs to be dealt with in a major way in this country. What did Labor suggest coming into the election? What do you suggest we do about it?
And you're right. The scale. I mean, one place that we've talked about starting is with young people, given that incredibly high rate there. So there's been some work around looking at the impact of having youth health teams in schools. And we've seen where they've done that properly. They've reduced mental health issues among young people and suicidal intent by 2/3. So we've said we want that in every school.
Well, that's worthwhile doing then, isn't it? If that's getting those sort of figures, yeah.
It is. So two things we need to do to make it happen. One is put nurses in every school because it's a bit sporadic at the moment. And the other is to ring fence, the funding that already goes into schools for school counselling. At the moment, it goes under guidance, and so it gets deployed in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
So some guidance counsellors are working across like 1,400 kids, and it's quite hard. So by that simple practical things, making sure that assistance is within our schools on site when kids need it will make a big difference.
I guess it's a hard position to be in, isn't it, when you're a political party? Because really, all those things we've just talked about, you basically just you have to promise that if you get in as government, that you're going to make a great place to live with that's worthwhile sticking around in, and everything's going to be fine. So responsibility.
I'm totally willing to be up front and say some of this stuff is gnarly. You know, some of it's hard. But we're willing to talk about the hard stuff, willing to take on some of those difficult things. What we don't need is just, putting our fingers in our ears and pretending these things aren't an issue or being too scared to bring them up because our opponents kick us around. So I hope at least people see that, we are willing to confront those big issues, because if we want to make New Zealand better, that's what we're going to have to do.
Big campaigns, campaign trail week, I suppose, isn't it?
But another big one, got an announcement today, another one on Wednesday.
What's today's announcement?
I don't want to give away too much, but it's education-based, and it's about school leavers being basically ready to go in the workplace when they leave school.
Oh, so it's not about floating schools on boats?
No, no, but it will be, I think it'll
like
be a nice
boat casinos
to,
schools?
Not on our agenda, strangely.
No, that's all right. No, I should have hit you up a bit earlier.
Could have got that into the program.
So we've got education announcement today.
Bit of a contrast to boot camps, I reckon. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love boot camps. Oh, boot camps. Boot camps are so ridiculous. That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Boot camps didn't work in the Autowaras, did it?
I could probably add to your list of ridiculous things, but we'll do that another time.
All right. Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much. You have a wonderful week.
Thanks for your time.
Speak to you again this time next week. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Catch you later. Bye.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.